This sermon was preached by Reverend Benjamin Annam Heyer at Trinity Remnant Church, Pella, Iowa, on July 26, 2026. Our text for this morning is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. This is the reading of God's Word. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That ends the reading of God's Word. 2 weeks ago, we learned that none of the common sufferings Christians endure, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, can separate the believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul spoke from personal experience. He knew that the Christian life is marked by trials, and he understood how easily we can be tempted to think that such painful circumstances mean God has stopped loving us. But that is not the issue Paul is addressing. The question is not whether our love for Christ will endure the trial. The question is whether Christ's love for his people will endure it. Romans 8 assures us that it will. Our security rests not upon the strength of our love for him, but upon the steadfastness of his love for us. Last week, we considered Paul's triumphant declaration in verse 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice that Paul does not merely say that we are conquerors. A conqueror defeats his enemies. But one who is more than a conqueror does something even greater. He turns his enemies into servants of his own purpose. We see this most wonderfully in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus was once Christ's bitter enemy, breathing threats against the church and seeking to destroy it. Yet Christ conquered him, transformed him by his grace, and made him the greatest missionary and apostle of the gospel. He used him to write much of the New Testament scripture. In the same way, the trials that oppose us do not merely fail to destroy us. God uses them for our good. They become instruments in his hands to strengthen our faith, deepen our holiness, and conform us to the likeness of Christ. What appears to be a curse is transformed by divine love into a blessing. That is, what makes us more than a conqueror. This morning, we come to Paul's final argument in Romans 8. Having shown that suffering cannot separate us from Christ's love, he now surveys every conceivable power that might appear capable of doing so. He writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul searches the universe for every possible threat to the believer's security and declares that every one of them is powerless before the love of God in Christ. This morning, we will consider each of these powers in turn and discover why the believer may rest with absolute confidence in the unbreakable love of God. First, death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Paul begins his list with what appears to be the greatest separator of all, death. From a human perspective, there is nothing more final or more powerful. My wife, Maricel, and I understand that only death can end the covenant we entered into before God. Our children know that one day death will separate our family. Death is the great divider. It comes even in the happiest homes, the strongest marriages, and the closest friendships. What God has joined together in marriage, no human being is to separate. Yet death eventually parts husband from wife. Every marriage vow acknowledges this reality. Till death do us part. Death severs earthly fellowship. It brings every earthly experience to an end and interrupts every relationship we treasure. It separates parents from children, husband from wives, and friends from friends. Even the closest of companions cannot escape its reach. David and Jonathan loved one another deeply, yet death eventually brought their earthly friendship to a close. Death even separates the soul from the body. Yet Paul says that death cannot separate the believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, it does exactly the opposite. As Paul says elsewhere, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death does not remove us from Christ's presence. It brings us into his presence. That is why death, though painful, is no longer terrifying for Christian. Its sting has been removed by the victory of Christ. Paul could even say that he desired to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. For the believer, death is a doorway into the presence of the Savior. The Christian's best life begins after his or her death. D.L. Moody expresses hope memorably when he said, "One day you will read that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." Paul offers the same comfort to the church in Thessalonica. Some believers were grieving over fellow Christians who had died, and Paul reminds them that they are not aggrieved as those who have no hope. Their sorrow is real, but it is mingled with confidence because those who have died in Christ are asleep in Jesus. Death has not separated them from their Savior. Rather, it has brought them into the fullness of his presence. What death has accomplished for them is not separation, but consummation. They now see Christ face to face. They enjoy him without sin, without sorrow, and without interruption. The promise of Psalm 23 has become their everlasting reality. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy followed them until that time, and then they went to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Death separates us from those we love for a time, but it can never separate us from the God who loves us perfectly. Death cannot break the bond that Christ established by his own death and resurrection. Instead, for the child of God, death becomes a servant that carries us safely into the presence of our Lord. Secondly, life cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. There are seasons in the Christian life when God seems distant. We know the truth of his promises, yet our hearts can feel as though we are far from his love. Trials accumulate. Pressures mount. Pain lingers. We begin to wonder whether God has forgotten us, and we quietly think, "Perhaps I will only truly know his love when I reach heaven." The Apostle Paul understood those feelings, yet he says, "Life cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul does not say life will be easy. He does not deny affliction, hardship, or suffering. Rather, he insists that none of these realities has the power to separate the believer from Christ's love. Much of life is not dramatic, but repetitive. There are meals to prepare, bills to pay, children to raise, work to complete, etc. There are weeks when nothing seems exciting or extraordinary, only the steady rhythm of duty. Yet the absence of excitement is not the absence of God's love. Paul himself knew this firsthand. There were long periods when he was confined in prison, chained in a dark cell, unable to travel, preach publicly, plant churches, or strengthen believers face to face. Humanly speaking, it might have appeared that his ministry had come to a standstill. Yet Paul never concluded that Christ had abandoned him. Instead, from those prison walls came some of the richest letters in the New Testament, filled with joy, hope, and confidence in God's unfailing love. His circumstances changed, but Christ's love never did. Perhaps marriage provides a helpful illustration. Every healthy marriage experiences a season when the intense emotions and excitement of the honeymoon have settled into something quieter. The passion of the early days may not always be felt with the same intensity, but genuine love remains deep, steadfast, and faithful. Even our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us this lesson through his own earthly life. Before his public ministry began, he spent over 20 years in the quiet village of Nazareth. Most of those years were remarkably ordinary. Day after day, he worked with Joseph, shaping wood into plows, doors, tables, and beams. He ran errands for his mother and served his neighbors. There were no crowds applauding him, no miracles attracting attention, and no public recognition of his ministry. The landscape was ordinary, the work was ordinary, and the days were ordinary. Yet those hidden years were never outside the Father's delight. At his baptism, the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father delighted in the Son throughout those long, quiet years of life. Nothing in life can separate us from the love of our Savior. Death cannot separate us. Life cannot also separate us from the love of Christ. Thirdly, angels cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. The list continues with spiritual beings. Paul declares that not even the holy angels can separate believers from the love of Christ. No spiritual being has the power to do so. Scripture reveals that angels possess extraordinary power. The cherubim guarded the way to the tree of life, preventing Adam and Eve from ever returning to it. Angels brought the judgment of fire and sulfur upon Sodom and Gomorrah, leaving those cities desolate. A single angel passed through Egypt and struck down every firstborn, and one angel destroyed the mighty Assyrian army in a single night. The angels are called the hosts of heaven and are described as the armies of the Lord. Yet not even the greatest of the archangels, Michael or Gabriel, could separate us from the love of Christ. The most glorious, the mightiest, and the wisest of all the heavenly hosts would utterly fail if they attempted such a thing. Indeed, if every angel in heaven were to unite in a single effort against the weakest, youngest, or newest believer, their combined strength would still be powerless to separate that child of God from the love of Christ. They cannot harm even a single hair on a believer's head apart from God's sovereign permission. They are utterly incapable of separating God's people from God's love. Such a thing is as impossible as preventing the sun from shining upon the earth. Fourthly, demons cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. The elect angels cannot separate Christians from the love of God. Neither can Satan nor all his fallen angels, the demons. With all his malice, cunning, deception, and schemes, the devil is utterly incapable of destroying God's love for even the most backslidden Christian. Satan's lies and temptations cannot extinguish the love that God has for his people. The devil succeeded in undermining Eve's trust in her Lord, but he could not destroy the Lord's love for her. He shook Simon Peter's confidence in Christ, but he could not sever Christ's love for Peter. Our Lord warned him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you." Peter was about to enter a season of intense satanic assault. Satan would sift him violently, driving him backward, drawing him into fear, spiritual coldness, and eventually into the bitter denial of his master. For a time, it appeared that Satan held the upper hand. Yet Jesus added these glorious words, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." No believer has ever come closer to appearing to be snatched from the Father's hand than Peter did that night. No one has seemed nearer to being separated from the love of God than when Peter denied his Lord with curses. Yet even then, Christ's hold on Peter never weakened. Peter's faith faltered, but Christ's love did not. Peter stumbled grievously, but he was never separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, his Lord. Death cannot separate us from that love. Life cannot separate us from it. The holy angels cannot separate us from it, and neither can Satan or all the powers of darkness. God's love for his people remains unbreakable because it rests not on the strength of our grip on Christ, but on the unfailing strength of his grip on us. Fifth on the list is the present. Paul says things present cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing we face today, tomorrow, or this coming week can separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever burdens the present may bring, they are utterly incapable of tearing us away from his unfailing love. We may pass through seasons of deep sorrow, fear, uncertainty, or pain, but throughout them all we possess what we have enjoyed in the moment we first came to know the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. These blessings remain ours because God's love does not fluctuate with our circumstances. What are you facing today? Is it an illness, unemployment, financial pressure, academic struggles, family conflict, difficult relationships, loneliness? Whatever your present burden may be, hear the assurance of the apostle. Things present cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Trials may test your faith, but they cannot cancel God's love. They may shake your peace, but they cannot sever your union with Christ. His love remains constant, steadfast, and victorious over every circumstance. Death cannot separate us from that love. Life cannot separate us from it. The holy angels cannot separate us from it. Satan, demons, or all the powers of darkness cannot separate us. Things present cannot separate us from God's love. Number six on the list is things in the future. Paul says things in the future cannot separate us from God's love. Paul is now thinking about the future, all those things that often fill our hearts with anxiety. We know that difficult days may lie ahead. We anticipate trials, wonder how circumstances might unfold, and imagine all the ways things could go wrong. These are the uncertainties that loom before us, the fears that occupy our minds. Yet Paul declares that nothing in the future, whether certain or merely possible, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This assurance does not apply only to the ordinary concerns of life. It extends to the greatest and most awe-inspiring events that are still to come. The final days of history, the return of the Son of God, the resurrection of the dead, the solemn day of judgment, the passing away of heaven and earth, the elements melting with fervent heat, and the eternal separation of all humanity, none of these events can separate God's people from his love in Christ Jesus our Lord. On that great day, when billions stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be overlooked or forgotten. We will not become anonymous faces in an immeasurable crowd. The God who knows each of his children by name will not lose a single one of them. The shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep will gather every one of them safely into his presence. His love has held us throughout our earthly pilgrimage, and it will hold us through the last day and into eternity. His love will never let go of us. Paul now comes to the powers in this world. He says, powers cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Paul next declares that no powers can separate us from the love of Christ. No earthly or supernatural power is capable of severing the bond that God has established with his people. Neither the destructive forces of nature nor the powers of human civilization can accomplish what Paul says is impossible. Nuclear weapons, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, drought, famine, pollution, pandemics, or any other catastrophe cannot separate the Christian from the love of God. Neither political powers, economic systems, global movements, nor any human conspiracy can overthrow God's saving purpose for his people. The rise of abortion and LGBTQ advocacy cannot separate us from God's love. Nor should Christians fear the rise of competing religions or hostile ideologies. Throughout history, the Church has lived alongside powerful religious systems and philosophies that have opposed the gospel. Whether it's the growth of Islam, the resurgence of Hinduism, the spread of secularism and atheism, or the influence of an increasingly anti-Christian culture, none of these has the power to separate believers from the love of God in Christ. They may oppose a church, persecute Christians, or seek to suppress the truth, but they cannot separate us from God's love. The same is true of the immense influence of modern technology and communication. The media, the internet, social media, artificial intelligence, and every other instrument that shapes public opinion possess enormous cultural influence. Yet even if every one of these forces were united together, they would still be powerless to separate a single believer from the love of God. Many Christians are grieved by the spiritual decline they see around them. Churches close their doors yearly. Denominations abandon historic biblical doctrine. False teachers gain large followings. Widespread lukewarmness among professing Reformed Christians, and moral confusion spreads throughout society and the church. Churches ordain women and transgender people as pastors. But all of these evil activities are helpless in terms of separating us from the sure love of God for us in Christ Jesus. None of these realities can threaten Christ's love for his people. False teaching may deceive many, and apostasy may become widespread, but it cannot cut the union between Christ and those who truly belong to him. Christ has always preserved his true church. In every generation, he has kept for himself a people who love him, repent of their sins, cling to his word, and trust in his saving grace. The problem with the church today is that what everybody is calling the church today isn't the church, but a bunch of unconverted church people with unconverted pastors and church leaders. Dead men have occupied the pulpits, preaching and leading lifeless and unconverted church people. No matter how hard Satan tries to fill up congregations with unconverted church people and pastors, the true church, the true Christian, can never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The church's strength has never rested upon its numbers or its institutions, but upon the unfailing love of God in Christ Jesus. There have always been those who outwardly belong to the visible church without possessing saving faith, and Scripture repeatedly warns us of false shepherds and nominal believers. Yet despite every assault of Satan, every influence of false teacher, every worldly pressure, and every season of spiritual decline, Christ never loses his own. The good shepherd knows his sheep, keeps them by his power, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The apostle also says that distance cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Paul continues, "Neither height nor depth can separate us from the love of Christ." He is speaking of every imaginable distance or extreme. No height we could ascend, and no depth into which we could descend, can place us beyond the reach of God's love. Distance, location, circumstance, or condition can never remove the believer from Christ's loving care. We see this truth illustrated in the life of our Lord. Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, seeking to entice him from the path of obedience. Yet even there, amid the fiercest temptation, the Father's love upheld the Son, and Christ remained steadfast in perfect trust and obedience. David celebrates this same truth in Psalm 139. Whether we ascend the heavens or make our bed in the depths, God is there. Wherever we go, we discover not the absence of God, but the constant presence of his love and care. Indeed, his love reached us before we ever entered this world. He knew us and set his love upon us while we were yet in our mother's womb, and before the foundation of the world, He chose us in Christ. Therefore, time, space, height, depth, distance, and even death itself cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This truth is deeply comforting in the ordinary experiences of life as well. Many of us owe a great spiritual debt to faithful pastors, teachers, and beloved congregations. God has often used particular servants to strengthen our faith, and it is natural to feel sorrow at the thought of leaving them. We may have to move away because of work, family, or other providential circumstances. We may fear that we will struggle spiritually without the fellowship we have treasured for so long. Yet while we may be separated from cherished pastors, Christian friends, and the congregation we love, we can never be separated from our Savior's love. Christ's love is not confined to one place, one church, or one minister. The same Lord who sustained us through their ministry will continue to shepherd us wherever His providence leads. His presence travels with His people, His grace is never exhausted, and His love remains as near in a distant land as it was in the fellowship we left behind. The servants of Christ may change, but the love of Christ never does. Then finally, he writes, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. Paul concludes with the broadest statement imaginable. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has exhausted every category he can think of, and then, lest anyone should imagine some exception, he adds this comprehensive phrase. There are only two realities that exist, the Creator and the creation. Everything other than God belongs to the created order. Therefore, if nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love, then absolutely nothing outside of God Himself possesses the power to do so. Everything that confronts us in life is a creature. Every trial, every enemy, every temptation, every disease, every government, every spiritual power, and every circumstance belongs to created order. None of them can overcome the uncreated, sovereign God. Paul's emphasis is upon ability. No created thing has the power, the authority, or the resources to stop God from loving those whom He has redeemed in Christ. Such a thought is impossible. The Creator's eternal love cannot be defeated by anything He has made. But what about our own sin? Can the sins of a true Christian separate him or her from the love of God? Paul's answer is unmistakable. They cannot. If nothing else in all creation can separate us from God's love, then neither can a remaining sin that still dwells within every believer. Christians continue to struggle against sin throughout this present life. Indeed, that very struggle is one of the marks of spiritual life. The unbeliever may make peace with sin, but the child of God is at war with it. We long to be rid of it, confess it when we fall, and seek God's grace to forsake it. Our battle with sin will continue until the day we see Christ face to face and are made perfectly like Him. The Apostle John reminds believers of this reality. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as recorded in 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9. Genuine believers do sin, sometimes grievously, yet they do not embrace sin as a settled pattern of their lives. When the Holy Spirit convicts them, they confess their sins, repent, and return to the Lord. This distinguishes them from those whose lives are characterized by an ongoing, unrepentant love of sin. Our Lord beautifully illustrates this truth in the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son demanded his inheritance while his father was still alive. In the culture of that day, this was an outrageous act of rebellion. It was as though he were saying, "I wish you were dead. Give me what belongs to me now." He squandered his inheritance in reckless living until he found himself broken, hungry, and ashamed. Yet when he finally returned in repentance, his father did not receive him with coldness or rejection. While his son was still a long way off, the father saw him, was filled with compassion, ran to embrace him, and welcomed him home. The son's rebellion had grieved his father deeply, but it had not extinguished his father's love. So it is with every true child of God. Sin disrupts our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, but it does not destroy his fatherly love for us. God disciplines his children because he loves them, not because he has abandoned them. His love is constant, even when our obedience is inconsistent. The life of David demonstrates the same truth. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged the death of Uriah, sins of the darkest kind. God severely disciplined him, yet he did not cast him away. David repented, was forgiven, and remained the object of God's covenant love. God never approved of David's sins, nor does he approve of ours. But neither did David's failures cancel God's gracious commitment to him. This is the great assurance with which Paul closes the chapter. Nothing can separate a true child of God from the Father's love. Christ himself declares, "I give him eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Our security rests not in the strength of our hold on Christ, but in the strength of his hold on us. The God who set his love upon us before the foundation of the world will never cease to love those who are his. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul has surveyed every conceivable threat, the greatest dangers this world can bring, the fiercest powers hell can unleash, every force in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and his conclusion is triumphant. None of them will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, he declares with settled confidence, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is a love that is causing all things to work together for our good. Nothing can overturn the gracious purpose that governs God's dealings with his people. Not one morning will we awaken, nor one trial will we endure, in which God's loving purpose has ceased to operate. Behind every providence, whether joyful or painful, stands the unchanging love of our Heavenly Father, ordering all things for our eternal good. This is a love that is determined to make us like Christ. Our conformity to his Son is not merely God's desire. It is his settled purpose. He has pledged himself to complete this work. His wisdom, power, and providence are all directed toward accomplishing it. The God who began the good work in us has committed himself to bringing it to completion. Because he loves his children, he will not cease until they bear the likeness of his beloved Son. This is the love that stands behind the unbreakable chain of salvation. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. God's saving purpose cannot fail. Everyone whom he has chosen, called, and justified will certainly be glorified. There are no missing links in God's saving plan, because his love never abandons those whom he has redeemed. This is also the love that did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. There is no greater demonstration of God's love than Calvary. If the Father did not withhold his own beloved Son, but delivered him over to suffering and death for our salvation, then we may be certain he will not withhold anything that is truly necessary for our eternal good. The God who has done the greatest will not fail to do the lesser. He graciously supplies everything His children need to persevere in faith, to grow in holiness, and ultimately to glorify and enjoy Him forever. What comfort this gives a Christian! Our assurance does not rest upon the strength of our faith, the consistency of our obedience, or the stability of our circumstances. It rests upon the unchanging love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love chose us before the foundation of the world, redeemed us through the blood of Christ, preserves us throughout our pilgrimage, and will finally bring us safely home. Nothing in all creation can frustrate God's eternal purpose of saving His people. The question that remains is a deeply personal one. Are you in this love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior, and the Master of your life? How, then, may you come into the enjoyment of this saving love? Not by earning it, purchasing it, or making yourself worthy of it. God freely offers His grace in the gospel. The proper response is to repent of your sins, turning from them with sincere sorrow, and to place your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Believe that He lived a righteous life you could never live, died the death your sins deserved, and rose again in triumph over sin and death. Come to Him in faith, receive Him as Lord and Savior, and commit yourself to follow Him. The promise of the gospel is that everyone who comes to Christ in repentance and faith will never be cast out. Those who belong to Him will discover that nothing, not in this life or the next, will ever separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.